Let's turn to God in prayer. Holy God, we pray as we continue to be inspired to laugh, that we also are open to being challenged. So gracious God, as we hear the story and we turn to the scriptures once again, we pray that you speak through these words of scripture so that we hear the message that you are yearning for each of us to have. We ask all these prayers in your son's name. Amen. The story we're reading today from Acts is a really pivotal story in the Bible. It will involve some individuals and an entire church community having an epiphany about God's will. Now, this story will cause many people to kind of re-examine what they've been taught about God. Now, Acts contains the stories of the early church. We've got the four Gospels, and then we come into Acts, which tells the stories of the early church. And Jesus was Jewish, and the expansion of the early church begins within the Jewish community. But then two people who have no possible connection to one another, they each have a dream. And their dreams bring them together across incredible barriers. Now, these two men eating with one another ends up kind of flipping the religious order upside down. Now, the 10th chapter of Acts is where we encounter the story. A story of a Gentile named Cornelius who has a dream that he is called by God to seek out a man named Simon Peter. And at the same time that Cornelius has a dream, Simon Peter also has a dream. A dream in which Peter sees all these foods that he is forbidden to eat as an observant Jew. But Peter is told to dine on this food. Now, as my friend who loves to cook barbecue pork proclaims, this dream given to Peter is God's blessing for roasting a pig over an open fire. But this story is more than a blessing of Southern barbecue. This is a story which redefines the church's understanding of purity. Now, we're going to be reading from the 11th chapter of Acts this morning. And Peter returns to Jerusalem after his dream and subsequent encounter with Cornelius, and he has to report what has happened to the church leaders. And as we will see in the beginning of this reading, the church leaders are not happy with what Peter has done. So let's listen from Acts chapter 11.
The apostles and believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was pulled up to the heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." the reading of God's word.
It was called the Irish Potato Famine, or the Great Famine. It lasted from 1845 until 1849. The Great Famine resulted in about 1 million people dying and about 2 million people immigrating away from Ireland. Land in Ireland at the time was mostly owned by rich absentee landlords from living in England. And the Irish were forced into becoming peasant farmers who had smaller and smaller plots of land as most of their agricultural products were actually shipped to England. Now, the potato had been introduced into Ireland and could grow in poor soil. So the Irish grew lots and lots of potatoes, both for export and for local consumption. But almost all of the potatoes grown in Ireland were one variety, the Irish lumper. So when a pathogen was introduced into Ireland, most likely through ships coming from North America, the disease spread quickly. About 3/4 of the potato crop was destroyed, and most of what survived was exported to England. Because there was basically only one variety of potato, there was little defense against the pathogen. Homogeneity makes crops and organizations susceptible to blight. The Christian church began as a homogeneous body. The original disciples came from the Jewish faith, and the people that they were most comfortable being around were other Jewish people. The early church developed rules to protect them from impure or non-Jewish people. It was forbidden, for instance, for a Jewish person to eat with a non-Jewish person or Gentile. It was a culture based on purity. Us and them, circumcised and uncircumcised, Jew and Gentile, God's people and not God's people. And the church leaders were quite comfortable with just being around their own kind, and it seemed to be working pretty well. The church was growing and could easily differentiate between who were the ones to be welcomed and who were the ones to be excluded. But then their entire worldview is flipped upside down by what we read about in Acts 10 and 11. Cornelius, a non-Jew, and Peter, the Jew, each have a dream. Dreams which are clear visions to both of them that God does not show partiality according to the words of Peter. Dreams that give witness that God welcomes everyone into relationship with God. Dreams that give witness that relationship with God and with one another is more important than the purity rules of separation that humans have created. Now, what I found really, really interesting about this story is that the first one recorded with the dream is actually Cornelius, the outsider, the non-Jew. Cornelius is the one that is told to seek out the insider church person. Now, can you imagine the courage that had to be within Cornelius to do that? Because I'm sure that Cornelius believed that he would be rejected by the insider church people. And guess what? That's what happens. So as soon as the church leaders hear about what Peter tells them about what has happened, their first question is, Peter, why did you go to the uncircumcised and why did you eat with them? There's no celebration on their part initially. Instead, they are concerned that Peter has broken the rules of purity and eaten with someone who is impure, unclean, defiled. So the question for us today is this: who has God already reached out to and said that I want you to connect in some way to the people of Allison Creek Presbyterian Church? Who is hoping that we will respond with a welcome? And who is scared that we will instead respond with rejection. Is it the child or teenager who's recently moved into this area and feels alone? Is it the immigrant whose first language is not English? Is it the person who's gay or transgendered and been told that they are disgusting? Is it the family with the special needs child who feels afraid that their child will act out in some way in public? Is it the person battling depression or maybe going through a divorce and wondering, will I be welcomed there? Who is it that God has already reached out to and invited to engage with this community? And could it be that God is giving us a dream that says that our rules of purity are not from God? Could it be that we are being given a dream like Peter that says maybe we need to reevaluate some things that we've been told in the past? When Peter tells the church leaders about what has happened, their first response is to go silent. Silent. And then, after they are silent, then they praise God that God has equipped them to reach out to the non-Jewish people, to the people that they had been told to stay away from. Now, after being silent, they celebrate that. Now, if this passage of Scripture makes you feel uncomfortable, and let's be honest, it should make us all feel uncomfortable. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, then maybe we need to be silent as well. Maybe we need to be silent so that we can listen and pay attention to who it is that God is bringing to us. Maybe before we defend our purity and the rules that we have already always abided by, maybe we need to listen to what God might be saying to us. God may already be speaking to the people that are being directed our way. Are we going to be the ones to welcome, or are we going to be the ones to reject? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy and loving God, just like you gave dreams to Cornelius and to Peter, we pray to be open to the dreams that you're giving to folks in our community and to us. And we pray even when it goes against some things that maybe we've thought in the past, that we were open to hearing your still small voice again and providing a place of welcome so that all and experience relationship with you. We offer up all these prayers through your Son's name. Amen. Those respond.